I am going to read starting at verse number 9 and read way down through here. I'm going to continue, the Lord willing, through verse number 32, a long passage of Scripture to start with this morning. If you're in Acts chapter 27, verse 9, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
Sounds good. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew," someone say this with me, "softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught, they could not bear up into the wind and let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ships, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and were so driven, and being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers," read this with me, friends, "except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." And we're going to close at verse 32. "Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." Someone say praise the Lord at the reading of the Word of God. I want to share a thought with you this morning, a very simple thought: give up and let Jesus take over. How many in your life you have got to the place where you had to surrender? You had to just give up and let Jesus take over. You know, I find Him definitely to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is my companion in tribulation. He's my ever-present help. He's my guide. He's my rock. He's my tower. He's my defense city that I run into. I'm safe in Him. Amen. Looking over these verses that I've read, let me do a quick outline. I want you to catch this story. Verses 9 and 10, they were warned by the man of God. Verse 11, they believe others than they believed what God's man was saying. Verse 12 uses the word commodious, and that means spacious. And where they were at, it was not commodious. It means they had cramped living quarters. How many understand sometimes we're inconvenienced? But we don't need to let the conveniences dictate our actions. Somebody say amen. Verse 13, they needed to beware of the soft wind. How many understand that sometimes the soft wind leads us into the storm? Verse 14, describe Euroclid, and looking that up, it's a tempestuous wind blowing in all directions. Some translations use this as a northeaster. Number 15, they were caught. That means it was seized by the wind and they had to give up and let the wind drive. Friends, I want you to know, if it's the right wind, I want it to carry me and take me. I want to be seized by the right wind, but I don't want to be seized by the wind of this world and the things of this world. How many recognize today that sin has a captivating effect on folks, and sin, as the song goes, will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay? The children of Israel in the bondage of Egypt is typical of sin. It's cruel with its taskmasters. Somebody say amen. They were seized with this when it took them. Verse 16 and 17, they had a brief opportunity to fix, but there's a dominant phrase throughout this series of verses, and that phrase is fear. How many understand that fear has torment, and fear is binding, and fear dictated their actions here, lest they fall into the quicksand? Verses 18 and 19, they were exceedingly tossed. They tried everything to stay afloat. And notice verse 20. I want to read this for you again. An important verse, because we get to this point. It says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And I'll tell you what, friends, I know times in my life, and I was sharing at the funeral yesterday how that in 2003, both my mom and daddy went on to their rewards, and how hard that was on us. But how many recognize there are times in our life when all the hope is gone? And we're backed into a corner, and the storm is raging, and it's persisting day after day, and we're asking God for relief, and it seems like no relief's in sight, and the enemy wants to take away our hope. I want to give you hope today. Because in Jesus we have hope. Jesus is our answer. Let me continue. Paul scolded them for not listening. I know today we hate a know-it-all, and I told you so. But that was a fact. If had they listened to the man of God, they would not have encountered all of this problem. Verse 22 and 23, Paul, since he was right, they were now listening. Hallelujah. Paul is saying, nobody's going to die, but the ship is going to perish because God's angel gave me this word. Notice verse 24. I want to read it again. Paul saying, fear not. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before. What does this say? Somebody read that word with me. Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Wherefore be of good cheer. Someone say praise the Lord this morning. Like Paul, I believe God. How many believers do we have in the house this morning? You believe God. The storm's going to come. It's not a question of if. It's only a question of when. It's going to come your way. Problems are going to come your way. But how we react in the storm determines who we trust in. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God and know that God is able. Can somebody say amen? Let's continue here. He's saying that you're going to be shipwrecked. Verses 26 through 29 describe the events leading up to that, how that they were sounding and they were sensing the nearness to the shore. Verse 30, some of the shipmen wanted to flee. Verse 31, but Paul stressed and said, there's no salvation unless you stay in the boat. Sister Wimmer, I'm staying in the boat today. I believe that boat, it may be broken apart, and Jesus had to give His life. But friends, I'm staying in the ship today. I'm trusting in the old ship of Zion that He's going to get me to a safe shore one day. Hallelujah. When all this is said and done, I've read the end of the book, and I understand that the children of God, they're not the victim in the end, but they're the victor. Hallelujah. Though we be going through the storm today, in the end, guess what? We win. Verse 32, in a very important verse, I want you to catch this. And when we read this, I want you to turn back to chapter 19 here in Acts. But notice 32 first. It says, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Roll back to chapter number 19. This was describing one of the smaller lifeboats that they scramble to use when trouble comes. And my understanding, had Titanic allowed for more lifeboats, many, many more people would have survived the striking of the iceberg back in 1912. But since they thought it was an unsinkable ship and they wanted more room for passengers, they had fewer lifeboats there. But friends, I want you to know I'm not worried about a little lifeboat because I'm on the ship. I'm on the big ship that God has stationed me at, and that big ship is Jesus today. I'm trusting in Him in order to make it where God wants me to be. Can someone say amen? How did Paul remain calm in the time of a storm when the others were fasting and were discouraged and dismayed and distressed and in fear? Paul stands up and in confidence tells them to cheer up. How many, if you were on a boat and hadn't seen the sun nor stars in 2 weeks, and you'd emptied all the tackling off the ship, you'd done everything you could do to stay alive, and you're in fear of your life, and this man stands up and says, be of good cheer. God spoke to me. Well, first of all, you would look at this man and say, you know what? That's the same guy that told us 2 weeks ago we didn't need to sail out because there was harm waiting for us. I think he may be on to something. Someone say, praise the Lord. Help me understand that men and women of God may be on to something today. And we need to hear what the Word of God has to say and take the advisement of the Word of God. And if we'll do that, I think that we're going to make it. Amen. Acts chapter 19. God told Paul something. It was in his mind and in his spirit. I want to tell you that your pastor, Ted Stidham, is encouraged this morning. I am encouraged about what God is doing at the Dunville Church of God Worship Center. I'm encouraged, Sister Betty, that audio copies of CDs go out and bless people. I'm encouraged that people can browse to our website and listen to a couple dozen different messages and hear what the Word of God is in this pulpit. Amen. I'm encouraged of the way the Lord is giving us a burden. He's giving us a vision. We're reaching out. I want to encourage you to take the coupons that are out front, hand them out to unbelievers. It's got the plan of salvation on the back of it. I believe things are happening at this church. I see the vision growing. If y'all are with me today, say amen. Let me see that. I want to talk a minute about a vision. You see, Paul had a vision and a purpose of God. Paul wasn't on this boat because he was going to jail somewhere. He was under house arrest and he was going to Rome to talk to Caesar. But God was sending Paul there as a missionary. And friends, we need to be mission-minded. Churches that are thriving today and churches that are growing today are churches that are mission-minded and are able to reach out of the four walls they are contained in and see that there's a harvest to be won. And I believe God has given us that. I pray God make you uncomfortable this morning. I pray that you sort of stretch out of that comfort zone and you recognize that you're part of the harvest. Amen. The Bible tells us to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. And God is wanting to send forth laborers today. God's wanting to use me. God's wanting to use you to gain the harvest for Him. Say amen. But I'm saying that Paul had focus. He had purpose. He had direction. Yet these others on the ship encountering Euroclydon, this tempestuous northeaster wind blowing, I looked this up in Strong's, in all directions. You see, the wind was carrying them everywhere. They were aimless. And if you don't have a purpose this morning, if you don't have an aim, if you don't have a goal in mind, if there's nothing to anchor your soul in a direction, you will go in every direction but the right one. So we had a ship of 200 and what's the number? 200 and some people on this ship without a direction. Except for a man of God who knew they shouldn't have left to start with. Now they're listening to Him. And now they're believing Him. And they're believing Him to the point that these soldiers trying to escape in a small lifeboat. He says, you've got to stay in the ship. What did they do? They cut the rope. I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know why? Because I believe you need to cut the rope. We've got these lifeboats. I recall one time witnessing to a young boy, and he was recommitting his life to God, and he had a bag of marijuana that he stashed away just in case he didn't make it. Let me preach in a minute. Hold on to that thought. I'll get back to that. Amen. Brother Micah, that rabbit trail to preach. I'll get back to that. Acts 19. Notice this. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Friends, the word of God is going to prevail. Give me an amen. After these things were ended. Catch this. Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, whether Paul is purposing in his own spirit, whether this is his own desire, we find God leading him in that way. And how many understand, as God is birthing a vision, desire will start welling up. I don't know about you, but I love the thought. It's appetizing to this pastor to think that our church is going to mobilize and reach out to the lost, and souls will be saved in this body, in this assembly. We're going to see people come to the altar. I'm sensing, and a hunger is generating inside of me as I'm desiring to go to that location. And I see that in Paul here, because prior to this, the word Rome is not mentioned in the book of Acts, after Acts chapter 2, when he talked about the proselytes of Rome in the languages that they spoke. So here God is doing something. A desire is kindling in Paul and carrying the gospel. This mission-minded man wanted to take it to the capital of the known world of that day, because he was in love with Jesus and wanted everybody to hear about it. If you're with me, say amen. Let's go over to chapter 23. Now, whether it was Paul's desire or not, I believe it was. How many catch that? He purposed in his spirit, this is what I want to do. And how many recall reading about Paul? He left Illyricum, going up through, traveling westward through the modern day country of Turkey. It was called Asia Minor then. He desired to go certain places, and the Lord said, no, not now. How many have read that? The Holy Ghost suffered him not. He had a desire too. He was mission minded. He wanted to spread the gospel. Now he's saying, boy, after I get to Jerusalem, I want to go to Rome. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. How many here believe that if you get this good enough, you want to tell somebody about it? I want you to know that if you're ashamed of this, someone say praise the Lord. If you're ashamed of this and you want to keep it hid and you don't want to let other folks know, I'm going to prescribe to you, you need to get a bigger dose. Amen. You've not got enough of it yet. Because you've not got enough of it yet if you're not willing to give any of it away. You want to be stingy with it because you're running low. Your tank's about a quarter dry. But if you'll get filled up, you'll recognize that you can't outgive God. And the more you put out of yourself, the more God returns back into you. And Paul, overflowing with God, wanted to take this to Rome. Chapter 23, verse 11. Praise you, Jesus. I feel the power of God in this place this morning. Verse 11, it says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, what chapter number is that? Y'all help me out here. Let's do some math. Is that 23? We started in 27, right? Help me out. Ain't 27 after 23? How many? You may not be the best in math, but you know that 27 is bigger than 23. So God give Paul the word and assurance that just like you've testified at Jerusalem, you're going to talk for me at Rome. And friends, just like Jesus telling the disciples, I preached it numerous times. He said, I will meet you on the other side. That tells me something between here and yonder may be adverse. It may be bad, but I'm getting to the other side. It don't matter what I encounter between now and the other side. I will arrive at the other side. And that's the blessed assurance of every child of God. You may go by the way of the grave, but you're going to make it to the other side. I may have to cross Chile Jordan, but I won't be stuck in the middle of it. I'll make it to the promised land because it's on the other side. That's where God said I would arrive at one day. The other side. Hallelujah. Praise Him in this place. Glory to God. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got a good shore I'm headed toward. I tell you what, I know some folks that spied out the promised land. And for those of you stuck in the desert, let me tell you about it. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a good land and it's a large. It's everything God said it was. Glory to God. And He said everywhere the sole of my foot would stamp, that would be for me and for my children. That's what He told Abraham. I'm a son of Abraham and I'm going to that place. Understand that Paul had a different spirit than those on the boat. Paul had some assurance. And I believe, hallelujah, he done what he can do. Somebody say amen. He warned them. He done what he can do. They refused to listen to him. Hallelujah. I could quote this. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. There's another verse in Luke I want us to look at. God already told Paul, you're going to make it to Rome. You're going to make it to Rome. No wonder Paul could tell him to cheer up. Because God added to that promise. And he said, Paul, I know you're faithful to me. And just because you are, I'm going to give you every life on board. Glory to God. There's one thing. It's good to know where you're going. But isn't it a blessing to take somebody with you? Hallelujah. Not one person lost their life that day. They wound up on the island of Melita. And that's the place that Paul was gathering sticks one day, building a fire, helping to kindle that fire. And a serpent come out of that bundle of sticks and latched on him. And this confident man of God knew that he hadn't made it to Rome yet. What did he do? He just shook that serpent off because he knew that the wind wouldn't stop him. He knew the boat wouldn't stop him. He knew Euroclydon wouldn't stop him. And he knew a serpent wouldn't stop him either. Because he was on his way to Rome. Lift your hands and praise Him in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Your name, Jesus. I want to make 3 points this morning. I want you to carry this with you. First of all, don't listen to the soft wind. Don't listen to the easy way out. Don't worry about being politically correct to fit into a corrupt world. Hear me now. The church, this will preach, friends, the church is peculiar. That means unique, one of a kind. We're different. Don't strive to be like the world. I'm not against doing things to attract the world in as long as it's not sin. Somebody say amen. But I'm not going to venture into sin to gain those in sin. And it's amazing that we try to be like the world, and when the world comes in, they see no reason to change. That's free of charge, and we will not edit that out of the tape. Amen. Truth. Don't listen to the soft wind. The enemy whispers and he blows and he tells you it's okay. It's okay to take a little sip every now and then. Oh, goodness. Someone say praise the Lord. Who will know? Nobody will know. How many know we don't need to listen to the soft wind? We need to hear the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Ghost. The soft wind will lead you astray. The soft wind will lead you into damage, but God's Spirit will lead you right. Number two, we need to cut the rope. And I'm going to say we need to commit. If you've been playing church and playing in your walk and playing in your prayer life and playing, someone say good preaching this morning. Are you preaching to me? Does it fit this morning? If it does, yes, I am preaching to you. We need to commit. We need to commit to a walk with God without sin. To say, Lord, I want to live for You with everything in my being. And I want to challenge you today. I want you to try it. If you haven't done it before, go with it. Hear me now. Give this a try. Roll up your sleeves and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give you the best effort. I'm going to give you the best try. I know how. And I want to see if you'll meet me halfway. I believe you'll find him to be faithful. Perform many marriages. I will say this. I will never perform a marriage. Don't get mad at me. Can if you want to. It's up to you. I will never perform a marriage where someone brings me a prenup. Now, that's me. If you don't like it, go to the county judge. Fix you up. If you enter into a covenant marriage relationship with the thought, just in case this don't work, I want a contingency plan. What you're saying is, I'm expecting it to fail. Amen. If you enter into a walk with God with the contingency plan, well, just in case this don't work, I'm going to keep these magazines hid under my bed. You are destined to fail. If you're on the lifeboat of Jesus, you're on this ship in that lifeboat of the world, let me put it that way, you want to hold on to that and you don't want to cut the ropes just in case your life with Jesus don't work. You will fail. Are y'all with me today? I'm asking you to commit yourself unreservedly to take up your cross and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you every step of the way and regardless of what it costs me. If it costs you your family, you're willing to do it. Jesus said, if you don't give up everything, you can't be my disciple. Brother Ted, are you going to build a church preaching like this? I wouldn't want a church preaching another way. We got to cut the rope. Listen to this. Luke 17. I could have quoted this. With your eyes, read this. Verse 32. Three simple words. Remember Lot's wife. I want you to commit today to leaving Sodom. You're cutting off the rope. You're depending on nothing but the boat. You're in the ship. You're in the ship of Zion. You have no ulterior plans. You're not Oprah Winfrey that believes every road leads to God. You're trusting in Jesus. You're trusting in Him alone. The cross is your only means of salvation. And you know and believe you're assured without a shadow of a doubt it'll get you across. You've not got the idea, well, Lord, I still need to earn my way in. And I've got clout with you now. Friends, I want you to know I deserve nothing. But here's the thing, in Jesus, I got it all. Oh, I feel the Lord in this place today. I deserve absolutely nothing. But I got it all. To he that overcomes, will I give him all things. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And friends, when all this is said and done, I want you to know I've cast my entire lot on him. I'm going to be around the throne of God. I want you to roll back to Luke chapter number 9. Preacher come in my office this past week. Preacher friend of mine, good man. And we got to talking and I looked at him and I made this statement. And I really feel the Lord drawing me into a closer walk. And I feel the Lord drawing me into a more committed role as a pastor and a leader. And I am encouraged today of what we're going to do in this church. And I looked at him. I looked him right in the eyes and I said, I've got both my hands on the plow. I've got both my hands on the plow. And friends, I'm not looking back. Lot's wife looked back to the city. You got to think, here's a mother that has at least two married daughters and two sons. Yet the Lord is saying, don't look back. We sing that song. Haven't heard it in a long time. If mother don't go, don't hinder me. If father don't go, don't hinder me. Friends, I want you to know I believe Jesus is worth serving if nobody else serves him. I've made up my mind. Luke 9, verse 62. Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you today to cut the rope. Let it go. Let it go. And here's what I'll promise you, friends. And I could promise you this with no measure of uncertainty. That if you will do what Jesus described when the man found the pearls and he sold all that he had, I will tell you that when you cut the rope, you will gain more than you lose. I'll guarantee it. I guarantee the satisfaction and the walk that Jesus gives you in place of what the world was. Hear me now. Will satisfy you by far more than you ever imagined. I can say that today. My shallow walk with the Lord, and friends, that's the way I look at it. There's so much I need to gain, but my shallow walk with the Lord is so satisfying. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? I want you to turn to Psalm 78. I ran across this scripture, and I wanted to exclude it from the message this morning, but I felt the Lord stress to me to add it and keep it. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him. And if you cut those ropes and you commit your life to him, he'll keep you. I believe if you put forth the effort, hear me now. If you're playing church today, this message is for you. It's time to cut the rope. It's time to say, I'm staying in the ship. Psalm 78, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Verse 9 says, the children of Ephraim, being armed. Notice it says they were armed. Carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. I want to encourage the church here. You've got weapons. You've got armors. You've got the ultimate victor on your side. Jesus has done everything that He could do. He provided for you the best salvation. How many recognize today that if we fall, it's not the Lord's fault? Can you say that? And if we don't cut those ropes, it's not Jesus' fault. Someone say, praise the Lord. I want you to turn to one final scripture, and I'm going to close. I'm going to skip over some of this. I don't feel like I need to get into it this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 4. We need to not listen to the soft wind. Don't take the easy way out. We've got to cut the rope. We need to commit. And the third thing this morning, we need to trust in God's plan and leave the outcome to Him. My message is titled, Give Up and Let Jesus Take Over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Can you acknowledge this morning that when you've held the reins and you've been the pilot yourself, that you've made a mess of things? It's only when we truly allowed the Lord to be first in our life and we truly acknowledged Him in all of our ways to allow Him to direct our path, things went right. Verse 19. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God, say this word with me, commit. I want to define that word before I read the rest of this verse. Commit in the original language means to send to or upon, to throw, to put or to lay upon. And it's translated as to give in trust, to put into the hands or power of another. To entrust with. You're not going to trust someone you do not deem trustworthy. And I want to tell you today, instruct you today as pastor, that we need to trust the Lord. That He is, Brother Micah, He is trustworthy. He is able to keep what we commit to Him. Notice what it says. And this is what we need to do. We need to commit the keeping of our souls to Him in well-doing, as unto, read this with me, a faithful Creator. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano this morning and Hallelujah. How many have experienced seasickness in life? Reeled it to and fro. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I recall what day was it this week when the ice storm was so bad. It was Friday. I went to work about 5:30 in the morning. Slid a little bit, made it pretty easy. Others called in, were in the ditch and everything else in the world. And I was instructing, let me put it this way, I was, hallelujah, talking to a man that I work with. He texted me a picture of his vehicle off the road. Now, I'm thankful I made it to work. But I was telling some folks, you know, I says, well, it's not so bad, you know, if you drive slow and you got a control and a handle on your vehicle, you know, and you make it. But it's other people. Somebody thinking that they can handle these roads at 60 miles an hour, you encounter them. And help me understand in life, sometimes our problems come with our loved ones, others in life, amen, heartaches, headaches, issues. And friends, if you don't think the sin of another person affects you, think again. Now, we don't have to eternally stand in judgment for somebody else's sin, but sin affects those around us. If you don't believe it, ask an alcoholic father that. But today, I want us to commit to the Lord. Let's stand to our feet right now. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord in this place today? Why don't you just lift your hands and praise Him right now? Thank Him that you know your destination this morning. Your destination is heaven. You know you're going to make it because you're trusting Jesus. You know that He is able. You know that He is trustworthy. And He's a faithful Creator. This morning, though, in order for Jesus to gain the reins of your heart and life, you have to let go of Him yourself. In order for Jesus to take control, you have to cut the rope. And I'll tell you something, friends. Jesus won't cut the rope for you. You've got to cut the rope yourself. You've got to express your faith in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You this morning for Your holy word. Thank You this morning for the gift of eternal life. Thank You for an amazing Savior that's our companion in tribulation. Thank You, Lord, that Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are higher above our ways than the heavens are above the earth. I thank You today that Your ways are the right ways. And Father, we trust You. I ask You, Lord, today to minister to each and every one here. Do the work that only You can do. Thank You for what You're building in this church, the vision You're building here. I ask You to do that work in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's come and gather on the altar this morning. Find a place and pray. Call upon Jesus.